I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey hustlers, we know that this 2024, the entrepreneurial journey is filled with challenges. An often overlooked aspect is the time-consuming task of processing payroll and managing government requirements. And did you know that the average admin spends a whopping 50 hours per month dealing with just government compliance? That's time you could be spending on growing your business, or let's be honest, taking a well-deserved break. But fear not, we got a game changer for you, introducing Sprout Solutions and their tailored solutions for MSMEs called the Payroll Starter. With Sprout Solutions Payroll Starter, you can finally reclaim your time and get your life back on track. Say goodbye to the stress of remembering tax dates or worrying about missed payroll runs. This bundle is designed to make your life easier and your business more efficient. And here's the best part. The cost starts just at 5,000 pesos per month for businesses with up to 10 employees. Yep, you heard that right. That's just 5,000 pesos per month. So why spend another minute drowning in payroll paperwork when Sprout can revolutionize the way you manage your payroll and government requirements? Take the first step towards a more efficient business today. Visit sprout.ph/payrollstartermonthly5k. If you missed that, don't worry. We have it in the description box of this episode. So click that too. And again, big shout out to Sprout Solutions because your time is too valuable to be spent on paperwork. Reclaim it with their Payroll Starter. Now let's begin this episode.
The Hustle Share podcast is brought to you by PDAX. PDAX is a homegrown cryptocurrency exchange that offers the best rates among local cryptocurrency exchanges. Download the PDAX app now on the Google Play Store, App Store, or Huawei App Gallery. Start trading Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other cryptocurrencies for as low as 50 pesos by signing up on podlink.co/hustleshare PDAX. Also powered by PodMachine, the simplest way to grow and edit your podcast. Sign up now at podmachine.com and use the code HustleShare to get one free edit.
One of the things I learned, you cannot control what you wanted to do in your own startup, right? Yeah, becoming flexible and adaptive to whatever kind of opportunity there is, then you have to really go there.
Welcome to HustleShare, the podcast that features the daily grinds of unique hustlers around the world to show not our differences, but that our hustles are very much alike. Now here is your host, Ronster Baitiong.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Hustle Share podcast. We are with an OG again, who is now a multi-startup guy. I think you're in your third now, right? Is it second or third?
Third.
Okay, so it's never fun. You know, you get your, you take massive L's and massive wins as you go. I'm also in my third, right? And man, you're an OG when you're in your third and you've been through highs and lows. But before I get carried away, most people know him and his late, the startup before him, this one. But we're going to be knowing about his new startup and this one because he just made, you know, the Esquire list. That I don't even know how we got there of the top startup entrepreneurs released this week. But before I get carried away, let's welcome to the show Mr. Ryan Liamoso of Solterra Energy. Woof, woof. Ryan, welcome to Hustle Share.
Happy to be here.
All right, again, and also congratulations for being a new daddy. Good luck. Your next
startup.
Yes, good luck. But that's for life. You cannot exit that, unfortunately. Yeah. Right. Probably when they get married.
Only maybe some returns, right?
Hopefully, let's see what the multiple is. But again, congratulations. Welcome to the podcast. First and foremost, again,
thanks.
You're an OG, third startup now, but before I get carried away, also, I need to ask you the million-dollar question. Ryan, what's your hustle?
Yeah, I've been waiting for that, actually. When I ask myself, what's my hustle, I always go back to my first love, which is volunteerism. So I started my career as a volunteer. And I believe one of the things that I love in terms of volunteering is my contribution. So my hustle is really contributing to my community, the society where I live in. And right now, I always ask myself, is this thing something that will really benefit, you know, my community as a whole? Or is it something that, you know, I'm just doing for the sake of vanity or what
happens? Got it. All right, sounds good. But before I get carried away again, I need you to buckle up. I know you're probably groggy because you didn't get enough sleep. Just don't throw up in my time machine, huh? Because it's hard to get this vacuumed and all that. But I need you to buckle up because we're going to have to ride the Hustle Share time machine. That is Dolby surround sound. All right. And I want to understand, Ryan, when you started this out, you said volunteerism was in your heart. And, you know, that can be attributed to something like a calling, right? You know, that you just know early on. It's not something that you build as a passion around, because if you're not selfless by default, you cannot teach yourself to be selfless.
Yeah, okay.
There's just no way you can't do that. And in a way, as an entrepreneur, there needs to be a good chunk of being selfless as an entrepreneur, because if not, then you're always gonna hit a wall, because as you become, try to be a leader and whatnot, those things come out in the darkest of times. But I want to first understand how you started this out before you even became a bulldog, before you became even a volunteer. What was it like growing up? Did you have any influence towards entrepreneurship or volunteerism that got embedded in you very early on?
Yeah, well, my childhood was in Sampaloc. So you know the area, right? You've been
there. I'm a UST grad. My boys are from Sampaloc. The Nolimitangere Street. So I know that place very well. Which area of Sampaloc, to be specific?
Do you know Balik-Balik?
Balik-Balik, trabaho. That's what it is. So see, I'm old school because I don't know.
That's there where I came from.
Vicente Cruz or trabaho area. Okay.
You know, those kids, you know, on the streets trying to fight each other if you are from another street, right?
So I have mad respect for anyone that grew up in Sampaloc because it's not an easy neighborhood to grow up in.
Yeah. Correct. So you have a lot of fights. You had a lot of, teenage problems. So issues. Yep. So
and it's then bully I or get bullied in that environment. There's no in between.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So you just rather be the bully or you'll be bullied. But you know the other two ways. You know, you can be that one and the latter on the same day.
Correct.
So your ego will just go down very easy. You know, when someone bullied you, you know, from another street. But that's how life is for me. And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. Mm-hmm. Then I came by hiking, mountaineering. So I got my passion in, conquering mountains and
literally
mountains. Yeah. So I got my courage there and my confidence. And I guess when I was young, because you know Sampaloc, right? Sometimes I kind of being, I don't like the environment there, of course, having to see a lot of troubles. So I lock myself into a room and then I read comic books. So my first one is Calvin and Hobbes. So that's where I got my interest in also some graphics and text. So then I decided to buy some books that will help me, like self-help books, because I don't know what to do in my life, right? So I just go in class with in a drunk, you know, manner. Well, my friends and I used to go in a bar before going to school.
Which bar? Let's go. Which bar is this? Okay. Tomas Morato, Malate area. Where is this?
No, it's just in Sampaloc.
Okay. Bathroom. Janky ass bar.
Yeah. Okay. We used to drink a lot and then play computer games. And then sometimes I also go through, you know, not going to classes, but just play with them. Yeah, Dota and the other, you know, games that are popular back then.
Yeah.
So when I was doing that, then I had a hard stop. Meeting my girlfriend. And, you know, we met the time that we were doing mountaineering. Yeah. So I told myself I might as well be a volunteer. Because there's nothing good in, you know, growing up in that kind of environment, especially if you yourself, right, you can convert yourself to do good or probably just, you know, be better for your parents, make them proud.
Yes.
So, you know, being a kid that doesn't have any direction in life, I told myself I might as well contribute my time and effort to something that is kind of will make an impact. Not really a big impact, but somewhat could change one community.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, that, you know, it's easy to say also that there's nothing good in growing up in a tough environment. But in hindsight, bro, I'll just share you. So again, I studied high school in UST.
Yeah.
I was a varsity player, but again, my teammates were all...
Oh, you played basketball?
Yes. So that's why, sorry. Tiger Cubs. You're Tiger Cubs. But... one thing about growing up, or at least being exposed to that neighborhood, that, you know, it's a make or break neighborhood, right? You know, Dos Castillas, freaking Don Quixote, you know, all the way to Algeciras. Those are tough streets.
Algeciras, and that's the train station, sir.
Yep, that's where you're going to get fucked up, right? But here's one thing I learned, and this is all, I learned this in hindsight already. Right, that one thing that I use now in my hustle as an entrepreneur that I've learned very early on in my life is how to be a chameleon. Because as an entrepreneur, right, you can't just be punching above your weight class where you're talking to like investors and you have to be prim and proper. Probably 70% of the time, you're talking to commoners, people that are on the streets that you're going to have to empathize with, that you need to learn how to get their trust for. And I learned that very early because these are the people that I hang around with a lot, you know, the fishbowl vendor, whatever that might be. And the hustle to being likable and to being friendly is probably even harder to win over at the ground level, whereas it's actually easier to do it now, as an entrepreneur, say you're talking to an investor trying to get that in, because you're putting your best foot forward. At the ground level, you're vulnerable because you can't play someone that you're not, because they will see that through you. And the moment that you start acting up, they would not even trust you. So you have to be as scaly as possible. and I bring that now, right? Because wherever you put me in, you know, it's just a matter of, okay, what's my game plan? Is it old school run UST, mother pahang shit? Or are you talking to hustle share run? So it's a character that I'm able to flex with. And especially if you're trying to, you know, source talent, you need to be flexible. And I think those times during college, during high school, that forged me to be, you know, a chameleon, to blend into my environment and thrive in it. And that is, and I'm pretty sure that's the same with you, because you only realize this after you're gone, when you're no longer there, right?
Correct.
And that passion that you bring, like, oh God, you know. And if you make it in the streets, you can make it anywhere. It's just that it's good that you got out, because sometimes when you get stuck there, the opportunities that you'd be chasing are probably gonna be detrimental to your life down the road.
Yeah, that's what you call streetwise, right? So
yes.
Really, like, metaphor there that you're trying to make it as an example for a chameleon. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can actually adapt to
where. Hunyango. There you go. There you have to be a hunyango. So, and that turning point is what I want to talk about, because I had the same turning point. I was probably 1 to 2 moves away early in my life when I was supposed to fuck shit up. Right? Because I was hanging out in the wrong, or I was doing, I had vices, I smoked cigarettes, I cut classes. And then I realized, you know what, shit, I shouldn't be doing this. I worked in a call center. And then I realized I don't ever want to be working as an employee. There's something wrong being in a call center, by the way. But if my dream was to get my mom a house, no matter how hard I work, my upside is capped. It will never reach where I want to be. So I said, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. That was the turning point. And after that, I became a student leader. All that passion that I put into basketball that I couldn't do anymore, I put that into leadership and really doubling down how to be an entrepreneur very early on since college. And I think volunteerism is that path towards that for you. How did you now pour your heart out into that, along with also mountaineering? Because mountaineering is a sport still. And, you know, when you push yourself to the limit, you discover new things about you that down the road, when similar challenges happen, it just comes natural to you because it's something that you've done before.
Well, one of my turning points is that, it's the mountains, right? So, and being a volunteer, you don't expect something in return. So, one of the things that actually made an impact on my life is that when I decided I'm not going to be a corporate slave, but I did that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Again, there's nothing wrong with working in the corporate.
Yeah, I know. But like what you mentioned, there's a cap, right? There's a limit, or you might want as well, you know, work on something that you really love rather than or someone who was doing it for a long time ago. So in my experience, I started working in Serve Happy Jobs. That's where I met you, actually.
Wow, okay. So
with Audrey and of course James and other people.
Right, okay.
They were actually one of my mentors.
Nice. I did not know this. So you worked in Serve Happy. Okay. Well, what was that your first job when you did that?
Yeah, as a graphic designer. Not really what? First job, but first job in a startup.
Okay.
Because I've been into sales, right? I've been into sales for a cotton candy cart.
What? Wow. That's amazing.
I tried to sell cotton candy carts to, you know, people who want a franchise for cotton candy in the malls. Yeah. So then I got into startup PH job, looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And I saw Serve Happy. And then I thought that I could try, you know, because I've been doing graphics too. So I applied to their digital marketing position, wherein my graphics and social media marketing has been exposed to the company. So yeah, well, I started that. I decided this is how you form a startup. Because being part of a startup, you see the positive and the negative side of things, right?
Got it.
And the risk that, you know, the founders are into. So I told myself, is this something that I can carry for the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years, right? And then I, as a volunteer, I'm not expecting something in return. I just wanted to do something that will be worth my time and something that, you know, because during your time as a, let's say, as someone who doesn't know, you don't have any expectations from your parents, or no one's really pushing you to do things like doing anything you're required to do. Mm-hmm. So you try to be like a chameleon, like what you mentioned, and a fluid water, right? Swimming to a river. And then once you found the perfect, or let's say, opportunity, you really do whatever it takes to get you to where you wanted to be. So one of the main factors and the reason why I'm a bullcrap at my own craft, it's because you can't see anything that can be loose in my life if I do this, right? So
right.
everything to be gained, nothing to be lose. And I guess that's what made me, you know, they, as they said, my mentor said, I'm a cocky guy.
There you go. But again, it's not about being cocky. It's just confidence. As long as you back it up, as you see, if you do what you say you're going to do, you know what? It's just having that illogical confidence sometimes. I'm probably the same. There's probably a shit ton of people that hate my guts, and there's a shit ton of people that love me. There's no in between. And I don't give a fuck. Right? Because I'm not here trying to fuck people over. I have the purest of intentions. If you're with me, I'm going to go ride and die with you. And if you're not, then right, fine. I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I have bigger dreams to ascend, and I have people to serve. Right? Now, a couple of things before we take our first break. Before you took the leap and founded Rental B, right? What was the things you learned from your stint at Serve Happy that was fundamental to really you finding out that you have a startup itch that you wanted to be a founder? And what are those skills that you learned there that you still use till now?
Well, because we're kind of a small team back then, so we do a lot of we wear a lot of hats, mm-hmm. right? So I'm the graphic designer as well as I'm the one posting the content and doing the captions and what have you, and also you know advertising it and paying for the ads budget. So I guess one of the things I learned and Serve Happy, which is very vital to what I'm doing right now, is that you cannot control what you wanted to do in your own startup, right? So if you want, if this direction is trying to set you forth towards, you know, creating something like this, or meaning to say, yeah, becoming flexible and adaptive to whatever kind of opportunity there is, then you have to really go there. No. You know, it's not something that you set from A to Z, but maybe it might be something that is bigger than what you have planned, or maybe smaller. But you know, like what they mentioned, shoot for the stars, and if you fail, you will land on the moon.
Yes, or something like that in that essence.
Yeah, in that essence. Yeah.
All right, so let's take our first break, and when we come back, let's now talk about your three startups all the way to, again, how you ended up doing Solterra.
Yeah.
As we speak, we'll talk about that more after the break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey guys, I have a very, very exciting opportunity I want to share with you guys. If you're a B2B startup founder, listen up. Your ticket to growth is here. Introducing Impact 24, the Philippines' largest B2B SaaS challenge. Calling all startups in their pre-launch, pre-seed, or seed stages, this is your chance to accelerate their growth. Submit your pitch to Impact 24 and get ready for a 10-week intensive program to elevate your solution. What's in it for you? How about up to 500,000 pesos in MVP project support, exclusive credits from industry partners, personalized mentoring, and a shot to pitch at SaaSCon PH, the country's biggest SaaS conference this April. But yo, you gotta hurry up because submissions close on January 26, 2024 already. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your startup to new heights. Apply now at saaschallenge.ph. That's sasschallenge.ph. And good luck, and I'll see you guys in Impact 24.
And we're back from the break. We are still with Ryan Lomoso again. He told us this journey again of why he now ended up doing startups as a second generation startup founder. Technically, because you've already founded, you knew what it took na to work in a startup. But how did you feel the itch, and what did that take you to create Rental BPH?
Well, my brother and I actually is the one who created Rental BPH. And during that time, we were searching for really a dormitory, an accommodation near National University and FEU, because he's studying in Far Eastern. And one of the things that we found out is that there's no platform, you know, for students who wanted to search for an accommodation near the university. So what we did back then is that we knocked on every door of of all those you know, houses and properties, and then sometimes, you know, you get two things: either a dog barking at you,
yes,
or a landlord who just wants a female tenant.
Yes, is,
you know,
it's sexist out there. I don't know why, yeah. But man,
one of them.
What of us do? What
in the US area?
Yes,
in the US area.
Bed spacer, female only. There you go.
So we know a lot of that. And then the reason why we created that is because we were also inspired by the idea of Airbnb. Right? So we created a platform so that they can consolidate all those spaces together. And then that's what we did. We talked to a lot of landlords and property owners, and then we got them on board. We actually had a few couple of thousand users or inquiries that time, you know, trying to search for an accommodation in the near their school. And that's where we got our first business. It's through rentals and you know, accommodations platform and creating a technology. And then that's the time I met, you know, Mark Mytown, Guy, and Revian. They're both from Mytown, so that's the story. Why I got to HG.
A wild, wild Mark Kuiman right there.
Yeah. Mark Kuiman. The man.
There you go. The legend. Also, shout out to Mark Kuiman again of Fox One again. Yeah. Who's legit hustlers as well. So, okay, Rental B, you did this 2019 to 2020. Give me the gist of what happened here and what is the main learning. Did you guys fail? Did you guys succeed? What was the life story of Rental B, and what did you learn around it?
Yeah. So during that time, 2019, we were doing some fundraising, right? We joined the final pitch.
Yes.
We onboarded, you know, a couple of investors.
The season right after my season.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. So actually, we were watching your pitch. How do we form or structure our own?
Nice.
And then we got an idea and how to do it, and that's the reason why it's such a success. So during that time, we were fundraising. We got an investor, and that's around Q4 of 2019, right? So there's no pandemic yet. It's yep. Pre-pandemic time. And then during the pandemic, we got hit. Of course, we're into student market, right? So yep. We had a lot of vacancies in all our properties. Like, it went really, you know, from rock bottom when it comes to the occupancy for other buildings. Like empty. And when you go to U-Belt, man, I know for sure, you know U-Belt, right? There's a lot of students every corner, every street.
Yep.
But during that time, there's none. And that's yep. 2020, Q1 of 2020. And then we all have to go to lockdown. I decided to stay in a dormitory, which I'm into right now, where we created this as an office space. Mm-hmm. Also, this is kind of our home, you know, because we told ourselves, if we go through this war, we should probably not involve our personal family, because we're going outside. We're still going outside. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of things outside, and then we're going back here in the dorm. So we're like creating a bubble for us. here in one building, right? So, and then we found out there are other companies, you know, who still wanted to operate. Mm-hmm. So we accepted them. We got into B2B, not into student market.
But
then one of our investors actually left us. So I'm not going to disclose the name, but one of the investors left us and then leave us. And then that's the time we really, you know, decided we should be the one to do it ourselves. Right. So being back in the street, you know, where you don't rely on anyone else but yourself. Right. So I got my gang back and we decided to make a one goal, which is to survive the entire pandemic.
Yep.
And then I met, you know, Mark and Revian from back in my town days, where they also offered us some merger that time. And then we paused it a little bit to make sure that we're ready for it. And then we decided after, you know, Q3 of 2020 that we should really go into this, guys, because, you know, there's nothing else to go. There's no way to go.
Yeah. And that's the right mindset, especially during these times. The pandemic, yes, might be tail end, but we're in the middle of a fucking recession worldwide. It's ugly out there. It's a bear market. It's bear on bear on bear. There's massive polar bears, grizzly bears, Kodiaks, whatever you want to say. It's ugly out there. So startup founders, if you're listening to this now, we're on survival mode and there's not a lot of funding out there right now. You got to learn how to survive. And that's a general theme that you guys are doing. If you learn how to survive early without being reliant on funding, you know, you're going to have a good shot, right? Or at least you're going to give yourself a good chance to thrive. I mean, survive in order to thrive down the road. Now, when you decided to go work with Mark and them, and is that the beginning of AHG at that point? And how did that transform? And what was the difference between Rental Me to AHG?
You know, working as a small team, right, in Rental B, we got all the structure in place. So it's really the things that we learned from our mentors. We call them our mentors and advisors, because they really formed the entire company structure for us. And so we got, you know, formalized all our processes, operations, and all those things that, you know, we cannot do ourselves. So when we experienced that, that's the time we really had a taste of what really startup is. So all this time, you know, from 2019 to actually it's 2018, but we have established the legal entity for Rental B during 2019. So back then, 2018 to, you know, 2020, for 2 years of our working experience in Rental B, it's not really a startup that we thought it is, right? So there's really a different, you know, there's a paradigm shift when it comes to the way we operate and the way we do things. And I think one of the things that we really, we are still, you know, we are still in the process of learning, is that you really need to structure your company the way you wanted it to see in the future, right? So it's just like that. You cannot really do something that out of it like what I did in mountaineering. It's just because, of course, on the bottom it's nice, right? But on the top, you thought that it's just easy to go there. But then again, there are other things along the road that might as well be a burden or something that would stop you going to the top. And you have to plan for it. You have to really be careful. You have to structure it in a way that when you are on the top, that's really how it is, right? And you cannot go down. It's in startups, in the way I see startups, successful startups operate. I guess it's just, you know, a matter of structuring it right, making sure you have the right business model, making sure you have the right people in place, making sure that you know, your revenue matters most, most nope. more than your, you know, your valuation, right? So because at the end of the day, it's just business, right? You have people to pay for. You have an office to be rented, and you know, you pay for a lot of things. Then you should really have an income, you know. And it's the thing that we learned doing business with Mark and the rest of the guys from Foxmont, Maitam, and the other advisors that we onboarded along the way.
Right, that's amazing. Now, one of the things that I really saw you front and center on was the creation of Sinigang Valley as we know it. When we were just being founded, you know, we were just talking about lots of talks between Recky Roland and the rest of the Sini gang, literally. But what was your, what, how do you take advantage of that movement? Because again, middle pandemic, it was just like, hey, let's create this place and freaking Bob, you know, and turn all these places, they were vacated and whatnot. How did you turn that into Sinigang Valley as you guys know it?
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, Ron, we started in University Beltran. So we really know how to make a bubble out of pandemic. Because we're still operating. You know, we're partying in University Belt here in one building. We're doing a lot of, I don't know if it's legal, but, you know.
Probably isn't, but.
You know, it's not really public. So we're doing this bubble thing for a long time already during the pandemic. And we created a lot of, actually, businesses in all properties that we know. We've formed commercial spaces, office spaces. We've renovated, you know, restaurants, coffee shop, bars, right? So, and we thought that maybe we could do it in a fashion that startups could benefit. And that is Sinigang Valley. Because actually, it's Roland and Rexy's vision to put it in Poblacion, yep. In Backwell, right?
Backwell, Palma and the outskirts of it. There you go.
Palma and the outskirts of it, right? So we got the properties there, the vacant properties. You know, the opportunity is there during the pandemic because there's empty. There's a lot of empty buildings. There's a lot of empty properties that they can't really, you know, make a profit, even a centavo out of it, right? So we got those properties. We leased them long for long term, and then we renovated it, and then we converted it to a brand wherein we could have a lot of eyeballs, so people could, you know, could see, oh, there's a community out there. I mean, why am I here in my house, you know, meeting people online if I should be there, right? And that's where connection really happens, right? And yeah, I'm very happy and very proud of where it is right now, though I'm not really involved anymore, for full disclosure, Ron. The way it is now, the way it is structured, we just formed the foundation. My team and I formed the foundation. We got the building, we renovated it, we converted it to a place that, you know, it's livable. And you know, connection really happens because these spaces are designed for it. Designed got to it. Be like that. So, and then the groups of HG, the venture builder now, is the one operating it. So they created a lot of businesses out of it. And just this March of 2021, I exited and started Solterra Energy because I had a lot of experience in terms of electricity as a monopolized business in the Philippines.
Yep.
I don't want to disclose the entire, you know, economics of it, but here, especially here, right? But actually, that's the one that I'm trying to disrupt right now. My team and I are doing a lot of, you know, early projects, you know,
got
just
it.
To make sure that we create something viable and feasible for us to put into the market.
Got it. Now let's cliffhanger the people that are listening to this at the moment. Let's take our last break, and when we come back, let's now talk about Solterra Energy and, you know, what you see in this monopoly. Because again, dude, we know who that monopoly is and everybody's trying to gun for that. But, you know, it's a tough monopoly to crack. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, let's cliffhanger these peeps in a little bit more. Then let's talk about Salt Air Energy when we come back. When we come back after the break.
Hey, Hustlers, it's time to talk business once again, and we're excited to share a bit more info about our sponsor, Sprout Solutions. And again, just like what I said at the start of the episode, you should check out Sprout's Payroll Starter as you grow your own startup, because this bundle that they have is literally what you need to take your startup to the next level as you grow your employees. And this bundle is your key to freedom, including payroll outsourcing to experts, a subscription to timekeeping and attendance software, and government compliance services. Sprout's Payroll Starter has you covered for payroll, BIR, SSS, and taxes. All the stuff that no founder loves to do. So let Sprout handle the busy work and say goodbye to lines and tax payment stress. All this for as low as 5,000 pesos. Again, that's just 5,000 pesos all in for your payroll and HR needs. So visit sprout.eh, payroll-starter-monthly-5K, or again, just click the link in the description box of this episode to elevate your business management game. And again, big thank you to Sprout Solutions, liberating your time for what truly matters. Hey, Hustlers, wish there was an easy way to open a bank account and grow your money without the hassle of lengthy application process and income documents? Well, I got good news, because today's sponsor, Uno Digital Bank, is here to help you achieve your financial goals. You can easily open an account with the Uno app in just 5 minutes and one valid ID. And as one of the 6 digital banks licensed by the Banco Central ng Pilipinas, the company is committed to providing customers with simpler, better, and more accessible banking. Last year, Uno Bank was recognized by the Asia Banking and Finance Awards and bagged the title Open Banking Initiative of the Year due to the success of its partnership with GCash, one of the Philippines' leading mobile wallet platforms. And with the Uno mobile app, you can access an hashtag Uno Ready Savings account and enjoy daily interest crediting. With their hashtag Uno Earn or hashtag Uno Boost Time Deposit accounts, you can enjoy a high interest rate of up to 6.5% per annum. Enjoy monthly payouts with hashtag Uno Earn and flexible tenors with hashtag Uno Boost. Other app features include pay bills, the Uno Virtual Debit MasterCard, life insurance, scan and pay with QRPH, and phones. And the one thing that I really love about Uno Digital Bank is they're open to collaborate with a lot of Filipino startups. I've had a chance to see the partnerships that they've had lined up with the startups that they have, and it's truly exciting to see how a digital bank like Uno can enable startups to unlock the power of fintech through digital banking. So if you're ready to elevate your banking experience, download the Uno mobile app today from the Google Play Store or App Store. Or if you want to collaborate with them, I'll be happy to give you an intro. Just shoot us an email at hello@huffleshare.com. Hey, Hustlers, I hope you're having a great 2024 so far. As you know, a lot of startups had a very challenging 2023, and hopefully things are going to do better this year for a lot of us. Not just because it's the year of the dragon, but also because our sponsor, Dragon Pay, is here to help your startups process payments in the most efficient way. Established in 2010, Dragon Pay empowers businesses of all sizes to accept and disburse payments through secure and convenient channels, giving your customers the flexibility to choose the payment method that suits them best. With over 85 partner channels, 35,000 partner branches nationwide, including QRPH, e-wallets, crypto, buy now, pay later, and many more. They also process an astonishing 15 million transactions processed globally each month. Dragon Pay is your trusted choice for online payments. And here's something to show you how legit Dragon Pay is. Dragon Pay was named FinTech of the Year at last year's Philippine FinTech Festival in 2023. So let's make 2024 extra prosperous for you and your startup in this year of the dragon. For more details, head on over to dragonpay.ph. That's dragonpay.ph. Trust the pioneer. Trust Dragon Pay.
And we're back from the break. We are still with Ryan Yamoso, who now is an energy man, right? From rentals to houses, renovating properties and poblacion, turning them into startup hubs now, you know, where a lot of, you know, it's just amazing what you guys have also started there in poblacion, where literally these were just random old houses that were probably old bars before, old studios now turned into you know, startup work hubs, workplaces.
Yeah.
But holy shit, that place, for, that parking is still a bitch in that area.
Yeah, for sure,
yeah. God, it's all fun and games until you need to park.
I would stick to Ortigas. We remote Ortigas.
That's us. That's us. I love Paul, but man, I will not park in that place. Because if you get stuck, you're stuck there for a while. But again, that's Siligang Valley for you. And it's always obviously the hub of startups now in the Philippines, right? Because they like to party too after. So literally walking distance after. But yes. Solterra, you got into so many of these projects, right? And you see that there's a monopoly in there. But okay, without disclosing too much, what's the real problem here? Because is it because there's a monopoly? Okay. Because again, we know who you're trying to run up against. And it's
I'm not mentioning any names.
I'm not again. But and only an idiot would not get it. We've been living in the Philippines for a while. Yeah. But what's the biggest problem? What's the opportunity that you see?
Okay. So I have a little introduction about Solterra.
Okay.
It's a device as a service model. Mm. And we created a device. It's a Solterra smart metering. And it's not just it, because we also have in our platform an incentivization program where they could be, you know, switching or producing their own source of green energy. So that's it, actually. So we are doing a lot of, in terms of energy, a lot of systems for, you know, because when you go to a house, you can see that the ones powering it up, right, is really the electricity. So if you go to a house and there's no electricity, you will not enter.
That's a haunted house in my book. Okay, if you see that in Sampaloc, that's a place you're probably going to get in trouble with.
Right? When there's a blackout in the community, right? Yep, everyone's outside, right?
Right? There's probably a drug addict doing some shady shit inside that, right? So,
correct, yeah. So yeah. Actually, the thing that got me to Solterra is really, you know, my love for IoTs and smart automation, because I've been into properties for a couple of years now, and I've seen that there's a lot of inefficiencies in terms of how you manage your electricity and energy consumption. So, and then I found a friend who's working on solar, and actually I got interested joining that company because I have a couple of you know, extra cash back then.
Nice.
So I decided I might as well join the founding team to get you know, a bit of stake in the company.
Right. Mm.
So, and then the company is actually doing well during the pandemic. I'm surprised. I'm doing AHD that time, and the company installed like 50 houses on a not fully operational, you know, company, wherein founders are not full time, and then they just got inquiries online or inquiries from referrals, you know, and they installed this solar PV system into the houses of these consumers. And then I asked why, because it's actually, you know, it's actually a burden if you do it, because of course, right, you have electricity, right? It's very convenient. I mean, you know, the one that they're doing right now, it's convenient for you, but of course, at the end of the month, you try to see your bill and then you surprise also in
shock. All fun and games until you see the bill, right?
Yeah. So, and then I saw some opportunities in renewable energy, though I'm not, I'm not really sure if that's really something that I want to pursue, but because of my love for environment and my love for, you know, probably, you know, climate change. It's really the thing that I really want to focus on after my, you know, after exiting a startup. I said to myself that I will go to a project that might as well help the climate change crisis that we're experiencing right now. And then I got into renewable energy and solar, particularly, and then we decided, let's create a system wherein, you know, users can really monitor what's happening, can have a visibility of their energy consumption and production as well if you have your own, you know, solar PV in your roof. So that's where we got into Solterra. That's how we developed the device. It's really for you to control and to monitor what you have in your own electrical system, as well as the vision is really, you know, once we have created the scale for, you know, for the mass adoption, probably people could buy and sell electricity for their own use, right? So that's really the thing, because the economics of I think electricity right now, we pay a lot for other parties,
or retail technically, right?
Correct.
Lots of margins on top of what we already do, because of it's a monopoly, so you get the name, your price. But a couple things in my mind, right? A lot of people have not really gotten the scale, right? But in your team, and especially in hardware, it's capital intensive and lots of science behind this. How did you build a team that will give you the fighting chance to even compete? Because there are other solar players out there, and they're probably sharing the same vision that they see. But you know, you wanna get market share here. But what's the ace that you guys have in the team so far?
So just to clarify on that, right? So we're not doing a lot of in terms of solar. We're not developing or creating solar panels, because as we all know, it doubles down every year, right? Mm-hmm. The price doubles down. I mean, you know, and a lot of innovation happens there. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know if you heard, but we already have a thin solar PV system in our windows, where you can just put it in your glass windows, and you know, building owners can harness the energy from the sun from that right. material. So what we're trying to do is that we're creating a device for them to track, you know, their energy production and consumption. And then what we did is that we focus on the meters, because that's where you get your data, right? So we just read what's happening on the background, and then put it in the dashboard, right? So when you see the Solterra app, it will tell you, where's your electricity coming from? Is it from renewable energy or from the one from the grid? And where is it being used? What type of appliances are being consumed, right, by this energy? So one of the things that we are actually trying to solve is the, you know, I don't know if you heard that when Typhoon Odette hit Mindanao and Visayas, Bohol has 3 months of no electricity.
So now it's so bad, I heard.
Yeah.
I was supposed to do my prenup there, and then shit just hit the fan. So.
There. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, Bohol is driving now, even of that scenario. But again, we can probably do something there that is actually, you know, better off than ignoring it, right? So what we're trying to create is to create a system wherein, you know, you could produce your own source of energy, and probably if you have an excess, you know, sell it cheaper to your neighborhood. So we focus on the ones who really control. It's really the smart meters and inverters. So when you say, you know, and I heard, yeah, that's true. There's a lot of people trying to avoid hardwares because it's hard to do. But then again, I'm really...
It's already in the name. It's hard. So there you go.
Correct. Yeah, but we started just as a middleware, and then we eventually thought, no, we cannot be a middleware, because you know, it's very hard to talk to this, you know, hardware guys, you know, trying to get their data.
You gotta beg them for it.
Yeah, you gotta beg them.
So you went upstream, you created your own hardware.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. We went upstream, we created our own hardware, and then eventually we thought that this thing could really be scaled if, you know, mass adoption would happen. If people from a community, especially from one subdivision, right, So for example, yeah, there's a community, and then one subdivision said that, no, we're not going to tap into, let's say, the electric co-ops and the electric companies, but we will produce our own, which the DOE is actually incentivizing right now.
Wow,
so you don't have any, you don't have to pay for any taxes, and the electricity is actually 40% lower.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. But again, the big caveat there is, again, mass adoption. And, you know, when you're, and I feel this because in what I do, and I just literally learned this from several VC mentors that I've had, the problem with a unique business model, right, when you're doing something really new, is that you're going to have to take a lot of hits that the rest of the people that will follow suit will not have to take a hit for. So first off, for example, VCs, the way they think majority of the time, if they're just again, VCs are get bombarded with thousands, if not hundreds of pitches every week, right? And to a fault, or just sometimes they have to oversimplify and look at comparables. If you're so unique, you're like, what the hell is your play? Are you a blah, 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 blah of X or a blah, blah, blah of Y? And if it's so unique, it's kind of going to be hard to, you know, kind of put your comparables and gauge your value as a company out there. And on the customer go-to-market strategy side,
it's hard for
you. You're going to have to fucking evangelize. 9 times out of 10, it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
That happened to me before in chatbots, where for a good 2 to 3 years, when I said, hey, you guys want a chatbot? And be like, what is a chat box? No, it's not a chat box. Okay. I'm not selling you chat boxes. Okay. And it happened to me again now in podcasting. What is a podcast? It's like, I'm not trying to podcast you. It's a podcast, right? This is not a, yeah, you know, if there's an evangelization point. How are you trying to overcome that so far for Solterra?
All right. So, I'll be very honest with you. When it comes to consumers right now, there's really some commercially available equipment and products, you know, coming from abroad,
yeah,
especially China. You know,
yeah,
when you hear about solar,
always the biggest competitor, all of that.
So they knew it already. Some of them are using it. The early adopters that we are seeing right now, they're becoming, you know, really commercially available for everyone. And I heard a lot of average people, you know, people, you know, in the middle income earners installing their own solar PV system in their own roofs, right? So for us, it's just a matter of, you know, adding additional, you know, feature for your own system, right? And the way we do our own market penetration is that we go into hotels and hospitals and a lot of businesses, yeah, to automate and to control whatever electricity they have or system they have in their own building. So, for example, I operate a dormitory right now, and I have like a 40 units of, let's say, 40 units of commercial and residential. So if in case I wanted to build them one by one, I have to read them, you know, read the meters from their own units. And the way Solterra,
there'd be a creepy landlord doing that, by the way, but okay.
If I did that, then probably I might sound creepy because
you might. Oh, here goes this creepy landlord trying to read my electricity again. What the hell?
But it's outside in the room. So basically what Solterra is doing is that you don't have to go in the, you know, read those meters for you, because you have the dashboard, you can export the data and you can
centralize,
automate the billing, right? So what we did is that we also let them, we were transparent, right? We want to be transparent. We let them know what type of appliances they were using, how it affects their billing, what have you. And if they want, they could control their own appliance. So for example, they forgot to switch off their lights. We actually offered them a controller. So you can remotely control if it's you know, if it's connected to Wi-Fi. So that's what we're trying to let people know. And actually since electricity is essential, just like, you know, food, medicine, and you know, shelter, actually it's not really hard to convince, especially one community, because they all feel the same. We all feel the same.
All right, now what's next for you guys? And then what if there are listeners here that you guys wanna reach out to, you, what's I just wanna know what's the, because again, I'm rooting for you. I know the shit's hard. It's fucking hard. But I wanna see you win. But you know, how can we help as a community of hustlers that are listening to this? What's your next steps, at least, that we can help contribute for you?
Thank you. Actually, really appreciate it. But actually, one of the things that we are trying to achieve, since we're into contributing to the Renewable Energy Act of the Philippines, right? So by 2030, it should be 30%. At least 30% renewables.
Yep. Or we're all going underwater,
yeah.
Right?
So, and that we, part. We are seeing that, you know, renewable energy is not just a compliance right now. It's actually a demand. And I guess if you are, you know, wanting to explore or navigate that system, then probably you know who to talk to. So we are here to, you know, probably check your house or your own.
Not system. In a creepy way, don't worry. I'll make sure. Not that's in a creepy way. All right. You just get a quick drive by, you know, it's like, oh, okay, there goes Ryan again.
And actually, man, since we're creating this, our first microgrid community, we might need help from, you know, other players as well, especially logistic. If there's, you know, installers who are focusing on probably some contractor for
former Akitbahay in Sampaloc. You need a new gig, and you know, all this.
Yeah.
You can make it in Sampaloc. You can make it here too. You know?
Actually, man, in Sampaloc area, we've seen a lot of them. Actually, this year, we had three installations for like more than 10 kilowatts. So I guess, you know, Sampaloc area and the neighborhood here is really frustrated with their own bill, and that's where we capitalize, right? And
beware of the jumpers, because you know the jumpers can also be
not on that side.
Man. There you go.
But
again, Ryan, I'm rooting for you, and thank you so much for getting here and sharing your new journey on Hustle Share. But again, if they're now interested to be one of your partners, or again, you are a former jumper who's made it now in life in Sao Paulo, wants to reach out, where do they go and how do they reach out to you?
You can actually message me via Messenger or my LinkedIn, or you can just go to the site. There's a submission for inquiry there. If you
what is the website?
The website is solterra.energy.
Solterra.energy. And again, this is going to be in the show notes on hustleshare.com. And again, message Ryan on Messenger, TikTok, wherever you find him. As long as he has a profile, he's probably going to reply. But give him a little bit of a break, because he also has a newborn. He's probably trying to just survive.
She's 1 month now.
She's 1 month. Oh, imagine, you still have 30 years of that kid that you're going to have to bear. You want to make sure that
maybe
kid...
Maybe you'll be listening to this one. So
yes.
I hope he's proud.
We're allowed, right? 30 years. As we speak. But yeah, again, we're rooting for you, Ryan. We're good luck in this new startup. And again, it's like full circle now to your volunteerism days, where it's really about other people and fighting for a new cause. But before I let you go, follow us on whatever podcast app, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anything. And if we did say some jargon, it's going to be in the show notes on hustleshare.com. And lastly, if we want to be part of our original community as well, we have a community on Facebook. It's going to be in the Hustle Share community on Facebook. Again, Ryan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you for having me.
All right. And I'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace.